Bienvenidos to the 50-50, a Spanglish podcast. This is your host, Jesse.
And this is Jessica.
En este episodio estamos hablando about a silent epidemic. Una enfermedad that is not discussed enough. We want to bring awareness to this. We want to mention what it is, what it looks like as the big picture. Así que vamos a estar hablando about this silent epidemic that's not discussed nearly enough.
Yeah.
All this and more.
Coming up.
Once again, everybody, bienvenidos to the 50-50. This is your host, Jesse.
And this is Jessica.
En este episodio, queremos hablar sobre lo que es este mes de marzo. Now, March is a very busy month for us.
I love March.
March is like, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yes.
Everything about March is like, let's go. And mm-hmm. I would think that spring is más slow motion que eso. Like, you know, yo me imagino que like in un perfect scenario, you're coming out of winter, se está derritiendo la nieve.
Whatever, we don't even live in the snow.
En mi fantasía, like, se está derritiendo la nieve, apenas está saliendo el Bambi, así como que, like,
okay.
Se está dando un estirón, así como que disfrutando del sol. But March is not like that, at least not for us. You know, even when I was teaching, March was like the busiest time of the month. It was go.
Well, yeah, for most teachers.
For all our volunteer services that we do in our congregation and in our hall, it's go, go, go. We have a lot of events coming up.
Yes.
And then
a lot of Zoom events, but nonetheless events.
But events anyways.
Yes.
Here in this new job, oh my God, apparently March is make it or break it month for the whole existence of this school that I'm working for.
And for the garden.
And for the garden.
You got to get all your plants in by March. I mean, preferably before like February ends.
Mm-hmm.
So that March you can have things growing and popping and stuff. But it's like, still, I'm like, I have seeds that I want to put in and I need to do it now before.
So March is the go time.
Yeah.
It is absolutely go time. Así que no nomás estamos ocupados, but it's also very, you know, special month. At least for me. And you know what? It is for you too, dude.
Why are you saying like that?
Porque mira.
Ah, okay.
Lo que la gente no sabe. Explícame. Es de que en marzo empezó todo. Empezó todo de forma romántica. Like, yo ya conocía a la Jessica. We were friends.
You're making so many March connections. This is bizarre.
Dude, March, I'm telling you, everything happens in March. So there's something about the number 3 that has high significance. I'm telling you, there's something there. And in marzo, you know, Jessica and I were already friends.
Yes.
And then somewhere along the lines, dije, whoa, esta morra me cae bien. You know, como que like me queda el saco, you know, me la voy a llevar.
Mira, tú te declaraste en diciembre.
Sí.
Y yo te dije que nah.
Nah, me dijo que nah. Hizo friend zone. Acuérdense que me hizo friend zone, all right? That's the reason why I broke up with her later in the engagement.
No, whatever. And then como que enero, like a month and a half, 2 months later, I was like, sure.
So you were like, sure. And then I was like, all right, sure. And like, se va a hacer, sas. Pero.
You're going to tell the people?
Pero you were not 18 yet.
I was 17. I was now, about to turn 18.
Now, before people start thinking, wow, Jesse's a mad creeper. Okay, no.
It was consensual. Can I reference that?
See, sure. That's from the other guys. When Will Smith.
Is that a PG-13 movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Not Will Smith. Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
When Will Ferrell singing at that weird Irish bar. And that's the line.
It was consensual. I love Will Ferrell.
Okay, no, pero, okay. Te conocí when you were 17, dude.
Mm-mm.
¿Cuándo te conocí?
I was 16.
And I was like.
But we were not into each other.
I barely had turned 18 myself, no?
Yeah.
I'm only 2.5 years older than you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it. So. Yeah.
No, but we met, I was 16.
When you were, and we were just
I
friends.
Was like about to turn 17.
Yeah, you were about to turn 17. Mm-hmm. No, that's como pero, que like recién quinceañera.
No.
Or sweet 16.
And I had gone through a lot of stuff already by that time. So I felt like.
Let the record show already. And the FBI know that we were just friends. There was nothing going on.
Yeah.
And no. When I realized that I was.
Me caíste gordo porque me pisaste. Like, me invitaste a bailar.
Sí.
And. You're more like a suelto salsa kind of person,
sí.
Cumbia kind of person. But it turned into a banda, and I think you were trying to be nice. You were trying to be nice to me. I wanted to dance with another dude. So then I was like, okay, that's nice that he wants to keep dancing, but you were horrible.
I was not so good at banda.
You're not good at banda. Mm-mm. Y me pisaste, girls. I was wearing an open toe heels. Y me pisaste. Okay, Jesse's 6'2", foot size 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this guy. So it wasn't like the most fond first meet of like, me pisaste. I was 16.
What's your point here? You're trying to say that I'm a bad dancer, or you're just trying to...
I'm trying to say how much I was not into you.
Okay, you're trying to put objectively...
I'm trying to keep you from going to jail.
Okay, okay. Because you're kind of insulting me in the process. Me estás insultando.
I gotta make it look real.
So we were just friends. Ya cuando me di cuenta de que, you know what, I might like this girl.
Yeah.
I had to wait until you were 18.
Another month.
Nail, dude, another week.
No.
Because I remember talking
to... We had to wait a month, but you couldn't wait. Like, you talked to my dad.
I talked to your dad. And then... I talked to your mom. I talked to my parents.
Not even a week after I turned 18.
Yeah, el 26 de marzo fui y dije, ya no puedo esperar. And you had turned 18 for a few days.
So my birthday is March 20th, the first day of spring.
The first day of spring.
And you asked me to be your girlfriend March 26th. So the joke is that you couldn't even wait a week.
Hey, man. Dios sabe que me esperé a los 18 años, okay? Yo hice lo que tenía que hacer.
You're like, this until is then, technically okay.
You know, until then, tú haste para allá, yo para acá, acá, yeah. You know. Ni teníamos Facebook. Like, well, si existía Facebook.
Yeah,
pero
si existía Facebook.
No existía,
pero...
like, the connection on social media que existe hoy.
Oh, yeah, no, for no.
Así que imagínate todos esos días miserables que me tenía que esperar yo para decir.
Oh, my goodness.
Me le tengo que declarar a esta mujer.
Ya así te que... me habías declarado. I don't know, well, like, we always talked about things. Nothing came as a surprise. I don't like surprises, first of all. Pero Jesse y yo siempre hablábamos de las cosas, like this and that. Like, cuando nos comprometimos.
We're very old school, aren't we?
Yeah, cuando nos comprometimos, like, we talked about this, you know? We picked the ring together and we were like, okay, around this time. Like, you gotta plan things, you
it's
know?
It's kind of like when Dwight wanted to do a tractor agreement with his girlfriend and dad.
Exactly.
They signed the forms. They did the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Like, that was
the one
was
with
us.
The really pretty teeth?
Yeah, her.
What was her name?
Was it Heather?
Esther.
Esther. It was Esther.
Yeah.
You know? Así que...
We'll talk more about the office later. But anyways.
Very formal de nosotros. Like, same thing when cuando me declaré en diciembre. It was like, hey, I just want to let you know that my intentions are the following.
Es que it wasn't like one-sided. It's so, I don't know. It wasn't our style to be like, oh, I'm going to do this, like... surprise. And it's like, you got to talk about it. You got to talk about finances. You got to talk about, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, vamos a la casa. Like,
o sea, nosotros lo pensamos. We are not the type de que, oh, let's just see where this goes. We were very clear with each other.
Yeah, we were serious.
Yeah, absolutely. Así que, you know, marzo 26 is when we officially started dating. You were 18.
2010.
How old was I? Was I 19 or 20? I forgot.
I think you were 20.
I was probably 20. Yeah, that's right. And then we dated for like a year and a half, and then we got married. So fun times.
Sure.
March.
Well, I'm not going to correct you, but it was a little longer than that.
It was longer than a year and a half?
We got engaged after a year and a half, and then we were engaged another year and like 4 months.
So I was like 22 when I got married?
Mm-hmm.
Ya ni me acuerdo.
Ya estás viejo.
Ya estoy.
So we dated like... a copulation of like 3 years.
See, there you go. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Those numbers make sense to me.
Yeah.
We're back to three. I'm telling you, three, man. Three's a deep number. March is special for us for that reason. Pero we also wanted to talk about what's going on in March. And this is something that's been going on, but I think it's the first time that we bring it up publicly.
Mm-hmm.
March is also, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, porque a veces lo hago butcher yo. Autoimmune Disease Awareness Month.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Now, overall, you know, let's kind of like explicar un poquito lo que es eso. Because when someone thinks of autoimmune, my first thought is Dr. House. Que dicen, it's probably lupus or it's probably autoimmune, you know?
Yeah.
And it turns out that it never is. You know, it's some bacteria.
It never is, pero I think they throw it out there porque it's just, well, Dr. House is like, trying to figure out the most impossible puzzles in autoimmune diseases. It's probably one of the biggest puzzles.
It really is. And you know, autoimmune disease is algo que nosotros queremos hablar because it's something that, you know, you go and you have currently. Now, the listeners know.
Did you mean to say you go through?
Well, yeah, okay. Exactly. That you go through and you currently have.
Yes.
A ti te hicieron diagnosed desde chiquita.
I was a teen. I wasn't like a baby or a child, but I was a teenager.
I know, but I remember the process. It was so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the listeners remember. Now, if you don't remember, what autoimmune disease do you have again, baby?
I have Hashimoto's thyroidism. We talked a little bit about it in one of our, I think it was communication is key.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And what is Hashimoto's thyroidism?
Basically, my brain cannot distinguish that my thyroid is a part of me and is okay to be a part of me. So it is attacking my thyroid. And so my autoimmune disease is potentially eating away and killing my thyroid slowly.
That is both fascinating and terrorizing at the same time.
Yeah, well, at 16, I didn't know what was happening. But yes, that's essentially what's happening.
We mentioned it también in the episode de que when we were talking about translating, how our jobs as the chiquitos have always been to kind of translate for our parents. And we didn't know medical terms to this extent. We didn't know legal terminology to this extent. Así que me acuerdo que cuando hicieron diagnose esto, the doctor was like, hey, this is what you have. You're going to live with it from now on. And you were like, excuse me, can you explain this to me?
Yeah, it was so interesting because we talk about language barrier, and that was a huge one. Mm-hmm. Porque, pues, mi papá estaba trabajando. I remember that. Siempre estaba trabajando. So, pues, mi mamá me llevaba mis citas, ¿no? And I've always had, like, an enlarged thyroid gland.
Mm-hmm.
Eso sí me acuerdo. And if you look at my pictures when I was younger, like you can see my neck. So all of our friends and family would always tell my mom, like, que me checara, que me checara. And my mom was very diligent because cada año, like, we did get a physical. Y nunca me salía nada until I was 16. And, you know, it's never really that great when the doctor tells you to come in. So, pues, mi mamá me llevó, and the doctor was Middle Eastern, very thick accent, and it was hard to understand. Besides, you're nervous, and then mi mamá, pues, no habla inglés, you know.
So, this was a crazy language barrier, entonces.
Yeah, yeah, and then it was really bizarre, porque he was trying to explain to my mom, who's, you know, my guardian.
Right.
What was happening so that she understands how to, I guess, explain to me or how to deal with it. But at the same time, it was like I had to translate all that.
So he wasn't directly talking to you?
No, because I was a minor.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
What a removed, so like, that's a very removed experience.
Como que, and like, I think he struggled por eso, porque at the end of the day, like, me tuvo que estar hablando directamente a mí.
Sí.
And then I had to correlate that information to my mom.
The best you could.
The best I could. I was a, you know, minor. I didn't understand terminology. And he was using, like, you know, language, doctor lingo that it was just very hard. And so it was like, okay, like, lo único que entendí fueron muy poquitas cosas. And I remember just leaving like, am I going to die? Mm-hmm. Y pues, honestly, like, I haven't talked to my mom about it ever since, but I'm pretty sure she was kind of like at a loss too. Nomás nos dio un paquete de papeles and here you go. Because Google wasn't a thing.
Not to the extent that it is now,
uh-huh,
right?
Entonces, yeah. Y pues, even if we did, like, it's not like I was searching online. Like, that wasn't something that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very just now, you know, they say that that's not what doctors should do, but that's what happened.
That's true. Y algo de que aprendí yo about autoimmune disease because, you know, living with you and being more aware of it, I remember when I was going, you know, to my nursing classes when, you know, I had, right before I got accepted to the nursing program,
yeah,
and the recession then took a dump on us.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. You know, 2008 happened and that was a wild ride. Me acuerdo que it wasn't something that we really brought up. We talked about always the big diseases, right? We talked about cancer. We talked about diabetes. We talked about, you know, heart disease. Mm-hmm. But autoimmune was always one of those things that, en mi mente, it was one of those rare things. One of those things que casi nunca pasa. Like, casi You know, in very rare occasions. I mean, even the show that we just brought up, House, like it was just such a minute possibility. But then researching it, I was very surprised to see how many millions of people are affected with this.
Yeah.
It is 55 million people affected with autoimmune disease. Y creo que el problema, o parte del problema, and this is all according to the American, I got to say this correctly, guys. Give me a second while I look this up. I do not want to butcher it because we just looked them up just recently. Now, one of the problems that with this is that there's a lot of misdiagnosis with this disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because autoimmune
disease. Well, most autoimmune diseases, not just Hashimoto's.
No, not exactly.
Like I've met people that are like, I think I have lupus. The doctor said I had lupus. And then it's like, it turned out not to be lupus. And then it's just, yeah.
Yeah, the American Autoimmune Related Diseases Association. They're the ones that kind of been like, you know, putting this forward and talking about, you know, making March the Autoimmune Disease Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Y eso es exactamente lo que tú dijiste. That's another key point. The reason why this goes so misdiagnosed is that unlike heart disease, unlike cancer, you know, these diseases get clustered in to one big pile of information.
Yeah.
Autoimmune disease, it's still very specific data on very specific conditions like Crohn's disease, Hashimoto's thyroid, celiac, type 1 diabetes,
mm-hmm.
you know, están tan especializados, están isolated, de que the problem, at least that's what researchers are suggesting, is that they're not compiling it all together to see the big picture. And they're hoping to bring awareness to that. So that's something that we started researching. Y algo que me saca mi de mente is just, really? It's this prevalent? I had no idea. And I was, you know, actively in the medical field. Mm-hmm. I was teaching this and I had no idea. I don't know. I mean,
well, even me, like, look, I switched doctors from a pediatrics to like a specialist, an endocrinologist, no? And like, she was horrible. Like, nunca me explicó exactamente qué me estaba pasando. I was so used to just agreeing and I'm the baby in the house. So I was always told what to do. And I tried never to really rock the boat. So I was just like, okay, well, now medication. Okay, well, now this and that. Pero yo hasta los 23, maybe 24, like, me di cuenta que yo pensé que con el medicamento, I was going to basically repress and cure my Hashimoto's and it just be hypothyroidism. Which is what they tell you the medication is for. You slow down your thyroid so that your brain is tricked into leaving it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Entonces, yo pensé que, I just have high hypothyroidism. Pero cuando, you know, gente sabía or I would, you know, confide in people to tell them, I don't look like a hypothyroid patient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not overweight. I don't have, you know, most of the symptoms. I have a mix of both hyper and hypo, and that's the reason why. It's because I don't have hypothyroidism. I have an autoimmune disease. Entonces, yo no, I had no idea, and I had not researched much. And it wasn't until I started feeling really bad, and I had flare-ups and all these things that I didn't even know were flare-ups, right? Was when I started doing more research and I realized how many people actually are going through this, and the majority are women. And so it was nice to know, pues que, you know, there's other people feeling the same way, because I couldn't really pinpoint it. And I just had to educate myself because my doctors never really did.
You know, and that is such a, you know, sadly to say, typical journey for a lot of these patients who get diagnosed con esta enfermedad.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's really sad. And y escuchas, like, I've been researching podcasts and YouTube channels to try to find
like a community, something that fits
comfort, I guess, yeah. And to like, oh, no me estoy volviendo loca, you know, like this is what I'm feeling. And it, and y muchas de las veces de lo que empieza, like, and I yo entiendo que like the doctors do what they can, but because there isn't enough research, they're just shooting darts, man.
That's it. That's exactly the point.
And nos traen para allá y para acá. And
I think you were one of the fortunate ones that you were able to get this diagnosis early.
Yeah.
Whether you understood it or not, lo estabas tratando temprano. Pero imagínate todas las personas that like something as complicated as lupus. We had a friend that was going through lupus, and it was, we've seen and we know of people that have lupus, and we've seen their denial. We've seen them saying, you know, it might be something else. And it's this long, complicated, painful journey of just trying to figure out qué tengo.
Just try and trial and error to see what can help.
Y muchas de esas personas, like yourself, seem a la vista fine.
Yes.
People see you and they say, Jessica's fine. They don't see you on your days of withdrawal. Mm-hmm. Or on the days que tú no puedes.
Or they might and just think that I'm just having a fit.
Or that.
Or right? That soy sangrona. And or that I'm just complicated and difficult.
And that's why they call it like the silent epidemic, because está afectando personas in a way that we can't physically see it. Like we see cancer. With cancer, we see chemotherapy. We see like, you know, ataques
hair que loss. Te hacen.
So this is something that we can see and visualize and be like, okay, this is bad.
Yeah.
But with autoimmune diseases, it's such an internal struggle that all we can really do is be like, oh, well, pues échale ganas, you know, and that's as far as our help or our understanding goes.
And if si tú no dices nada, la gente no va a saber.
Exactamente. La gente no va a saber.
Which for a long time I kept to myself. I mean, you knew, pero yeah. I kept to myself.
Even to our family. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't want to really bring much attention to it.
No. I don't like pity parties. I don't like people asking me questions, because half of the time I don't know how and I don't know why. So, yo sé que hay gente que pues con buen corazón me quiere ayudar o me quiere dar sugerencias y sus opiniones, but it is más frustrante porque there is no clear why. And tanta gente lo experimenta de diferentes maneras. And there's no right way. At least I haven't seen that. Even though everybody has maybe the same autoimmune disease, everyone goes through it differently. And the symptoms are so like black and white. Either like you're constipated or you have diarrhea. you gain a ton of weight or you lose a ton of weight. You know, you are up all night, tienes insomnio, or you're chronically fatigued and you're tired and you're sleepy all day.
Varía mucho.
So, and what triggers it is different too. It can be stress. It can be your food. It can be, you know, your environment. It can be all kinds of things. So it's just kind of like trying.
We're back to shooting darts.
To figure it out. Y lo que le funciona a alguien, quizás no me funcione a mí. And that's what I've. That's the most frustrating part, is that you're trying to collect data and information on what can help. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, the disclaimers, no, on podcasts or YouTube channels, like, pero tú haz lo que tú necesitas. Like, es lo que me funcionó a mí. And sometimes, I mean, these things are not for me. And if I have found something, the only thing that I think that I have found is like mental, like peace in the... And accepting that this is going to be my life. Because for a long time, it was hard.
That might be a part of the answer of the question that I was going to ask you, because you weren't bringing this up as openly. What changed? I mean, this was literally your idea of this conversation.
I think acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Porque mira, cuando tú te me declaraste así, you know, bien acá, yo te dije... I told you.
Yeah, you did. You were very
I remember I had just gotten to... Tú estabas en la República Dominicana y tú me hablaste. And we were just friends, right? We were just friends. And I had just gone out of a doctor's appointment and you asked me what I was doing. I was at Walgreens, I remember, looking at stupid cards.
Oh, the pamphlets?
I was reading... No, I was just reading like the greeting cards and like anniversary cards and... like sympathy cards, because my mom needed to go to the store and I was just like reading because I was just trying to distract my brain from what had just happened. I was at the doctor and they were like deciding like whether or not to start me on medication, and it was like a lot. Y tú me hablaste out of nowhere. I don't even know why I answered, because like, was I charged for that call?
I probably charged myself for that call.
Dang.
I know.
So you did like me.
No, you were just cool. You were just cool. You're one of my friends. And I was calling my friends that day. I remember I had called.
Ah, okay. I'm not that special. Okay. You cool. called other people.
I called other friends. You okay, were a cool. special friend to me.
Okay. Uh-huh. Entonces me dices que sí que estaba haciéndole y te dije, I mean, I didn't want to lie, you know, because like I'm not much of a liar. So I was like, I just went to the doctor. I had just gone out of the doctor. And you're like, do you have the flu? And I started laughing. And I was like, no, I don't have the flu. But I felt like it was just such a short conversation that I don't remember I told you right then and there. I think I just gave you like a clue, like, no, I don't have the flu. It's something a little bit more, you know, substantial. But then I mean, I told you. I told you what I had and what I was going through. Y si le querías atorar, you know, as a boyfriend and potentially marry me, that this was the package. Not really knowing what it was 100%, pero pues si te dije.
I remember that a big reason que me dijiste is because lo único que te acordabas en ese tiempo, you didn't really understand the disease. You didn't really understand its impacts. But what you did know very vividly is that having kids was going to be hard.
Yeah.
El doctor te lo dijo bien seco. Mm-hmm. Así como que like, dude, fat chance, you know? So I remember that conversation that you had with me.
Yes, saying, because I didn't want to marry someone that wanted kids.
Yeah.
And have the pressure of me not being able to.
Hanging that over you, right?
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah, because that's not fair.
No, it's not.
Like if you wanted to have kids, like I'm not the girl, you know? And y mucha gente me ha dicho, ay, pero los doctores nomás te asustan. Like hay muchas mujeres que like sí se logran. I'm like, okay, that I understand. But I also understand the risk. And I think that it's not fair to marry someone who vividly pictures himself as a family man and a father and have to go through.
And we've had this conversation about kids together, tú y yo, and we've said that even in this episodes in the podcast, hemos dicho de que we're not close to the idea, pero lo que la gente no dijimos en ese tiempo es that even though we're not close to it, doesn't mean that we're not aware of the risk and what might happen. Mm-hmm. So these are all very real conversations que hemos tenido con uno al otro.
Yeah, before we started dating.
Before that, exactly. Mm-hmm. Así que, you know, and...
And you said yes.
I love you, babe. You know, and, you know, my sister has enough kids for all of us. Así que, ay, Dios mío. Sí,
yeah. Tenemos muchos sobrinos. But yeah.
That road to acceptance was a long one, babe.
Yeah, it was. Almost a decade.
Almost a decade. That's true.
But it was just such a unique experience, I feel, because you're young and, you know, I was really bad at taking my medication and I was like going through puberty as well. And it was just like really just, I didn't know what was happening to my body. I felt like that wasn't just normal. Mucha gente me decía, ah, pues, ¿qué sentiste? Y yo, pues, nah, you know, but I was already living with it that I just thought that was who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really strange.
Yeah, the process of you now, like taking that empowerment de que tú misma, figuring out, okay, what works for me? What is it that I am going to actively and proactively do?
Yeah.
Has been huge. I mean, not only have I seen, obviously, the benefits of, you know, here in the household, entre tú y yo, pero I've seen how it's helped you develop. You've become like así more understanding of yourself, because sometimes you were your own worst enemy.
Well, yeah, I mean, my own body is attacking me. Literalmente. 24/7. So, yeah, I remember telling people, like, I don't even, like, it's just hard because, you know, your body is supposed to function. And when it doesn't function the way it's supposed to, when you finally can pinpoint, you know, cómo es que tu cuerpo está cada día algo diferente. It's not easy. But, and I remember when we started dating, actually, like a month later. Do you remember what happened?
A month later when you had a biopsy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I was with you.
Yeah. My mom thought it was like the weirdest thing.
Well, you were my girlfriend.
Pues sí, pero apenas tenías un mes. Teníamos like un mes y poquito de novios.
Pero tu mamá no sabe de que we saw each other's tax statements before that. You know, tu madre no sabe all the paperwork that we did.
Sí. It was just funny because like, I mean, thyroid cancer is real as well.
Mira, this journey, even though I was with you desde el inicio and I've been by you, has always been your journey.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't try to impose myself to it. I tried once because that's in my nature. I want to fix. I want to help.
Sí.
Pero it's always been yours and yours only. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All I could ever do was just be un lado de ti. That's it.
Sí.
And try to be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this entrándole. I knew this when we got married. I knew this when we had our first fight. I knew this when we had our first, you know, when you started having your first, you know, digamos, I don't know. I don't want to call it episodes.
They're flare-ups.
Your flare-ups, yes.
There's a word. It's fine.
Y no siempre fue fácil. Fue difícil de mi parte porque yo también tenía que hacer más de mi empeño to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Pero fue más difícil de tu parte because you had to accept it yourself.
Yeah, but I thought it was just so sweet and nice. I didn't think that, like, for me, yo siempre estuve, like, con mi mamá nomás, you know? And then, I had gotten an ultrasound, y según miraron nodules in my thyroid, and, like, you know, they just wanted to check that it wasn't cancer. And, you know, cancer is a scary word, especially when you're 18
mm-hmm.
and just started dating. So it was kind of like, ooh.
And we know the risk of thyroid cancer. I mean, my tia, Matia Leti, died of thyroid cancer. Mm-hmm. Así que I've seen what this does to people, and it's not.
Yeah, cuando la gente no se atiende on time.
Yeah, it's algo que, I mean, it's tragic, ¿verdad?
Sí.
Y I don't want to get too woke with this, pero it's a product of the environment that we're in, the world that we're currently in these days.
Sí,
because,
pues claro.
You know, qué casualidad that this, all of these diseases as a whole, autoimmune disease, it's so underreported, it's so understudied. Se me hace too much of a coincidence that 75% of the people who are affected are women. So, you know, historically, women have been marginalized. Women have been, you know,
silenced,
not taken seriously enough. I've seen this when we talked about, like, for example, when I used to teach medical assisting, there was this one documentary that I would show to my students about an autoimmune disease called chronic fatigue syndrome. And this would happen primordialmente en las mujeres. Now, guys would have it too, but it was a lot more prevalent or a lot more dominant on women for some reason. Y muchas veces la gente no lo entendía and they would just write it off. Mujeres flojas.
Sí.
No quieren trabajar. You know, and they would just make jokes of it. If this was something that men were primarily having.
You think it'd be different?
Oh, dude.
Okay.
How much do we know about erectile dysfunction? We know everything about it. Qué casualidad, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like, it's the product that we live in. Unfortunately, it's
I've been called all kinds of things. Lazy, difficult. Me acuerdo, like, you know, I mean, I love my family and yo sé que no lo hacen para lastimarme, but when you're so frustrated with yourself and down, me acuerdo que, like, si salíamos a las compras o algo, like, I'm prone to headaches. And a huge part of my headaches is porque I'm dehydrated all the time. I have severe dryness, dry skin, dry mouth, dry scalp. And so we live in the desert. So si salía y no llevaba agua and I wasn't really good at drinking water when I was younger y todo eso, pues me dolía la cabeza. Y ya me decían, ay, ya vas a empezar. Ay, la queca ya le duele la cabeza. Ya. Yeah, you know, and it's just like, I'm not purposely trying to, like, ruin everybody's day by getting a headache, or, like, me la llevaba dormida también mucho tiempo. And I know my sisters would think that I was just, like, lazy or, you know, always tired. And when you're young and you're in your early 20s, mid 20s, even now, it's like, you don't, no miras a alguien como de esa edad tener cansancio.
Sí.
Y es como It breaks my heart sometimes, and I feel like it, no entienden, obviamente. I don't talk about this, you know? So it's like, no entienden de que, ay, es que tú estás joven, y ahorita es cuando, y tienen toda la energía, and, like, you know, that's the perception that most people have of people in that age group.
Right, which would typically be normal.
Yeah, which would be normal. And then, but it breaks my heart because cuando no puedo hacer ciertas cosas that everybody else in my age group was doing, and hearing that, like, well, I should be able to, but I can't. Why? And that sucks.
It does suck. And I think it's very important that you're telling this story now, babe, because La gente, al escuchar eso, the people who know you, see mm-hmm. you as the person who you really are, which is a very strong, independent, determined, strong-willed, you know, tú eres capaz de muchas cosas. So
thank you.
You're a very powerful woman, pero a la misma vez, estás tú lidiando con algo muy personal. And this is a journey that's taking a lot of healing. This is a journey that's taking a lot of time. And part of the healing is not just understanding the disease, but understanding the trauma that went along with it.
Así oh, yeah, que, for sure.
I think what I'm trying to say here is that que puedes hacer las dos cosas. You know, once you've accepted that you've had this autoimmune disease, mm-hmm. you didn't let it be the issue in itself. It's not always perfect. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
Pero you're more than just your autoimmune disease. Puedes hacer las dos cosas. And that's what one of the biggest things that I admire out of you.
Thank you.
You're not Jessica, mi esposa, pobrecita, está enferma.
No, please don't give me a pity party.
You're Jessica, like this woman.
This is why I don't talk about it.
you're Jessica, mi esposa, la mujer que es capaz de todo. Pero de vez en cuando, dale chance, dale, give her a break. That's all.
Just let me take a nap.
Let her take a nap. You know, and that's all it is. And, you know, I love the fact that you're sharing this because tal vez hay gente that have been misdiagnosed. Tal vez hay gente that knows somebody that has some type of autoimmune disease. And if it gives them a little hint of what they're going through,
mm-hmm. I send you a hug.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad we talked about this, babe. I'm glad that this is a journey that you're still going through. Mm-hmm. You know, así que if this is something that you are currently going through, this is your journey alone. You're more than your autoimmune disease. I don't want to get more TED talky.
TED talky? Can we talk about what's worked?
Yeah, for sure.
I think for me, a huge part was stress. Una de las cosas que leí es que, like, autoimmune, or especially Hashimoto's, right? Because that's primarily what I read on. Muchas personas it happened because of stress. You know, and I do have a long line of thyroid issues in my mom's side of the family, but I don't think anyone has an autoimmune disease. I don't think anybody has Hashimoto's. So for me, a lot of the things is stress. I think my Hashimoto's came from a stressful time. Even though I was a teenager, I was very stressed at that age. And so now, like, si tú lo has notado, like, si me estreso, I get flare-ups. Me deprimo, or, like, I can't quench my thirst, or I have mood swings y cositas así. So it's, para mí, it was like controlling my stress and learning from you how to just chill out. And then food is so important. I didn't notice. Y estoy muy contenta que desde muy niña, desde siempre, mi mamá siempre nos daba saladas, siempre nos daba vegetales. Mi mamá, you know, crecía cosas en el jardín, and I learned to love all that.
And she was never a huge fan of, like, super processed food tampoco. Or fast food in general. Like, you know,
we didn't restaurants. Have a lot of fast food growing up either. Like, íbamos al Jack in the Box, like, twice a year.
Dude, cuando me dijiste that Jack in the Box, like, cuando dije, okay, babe, like, where do you want to eat? You know, for us, it was like, there's fast food and then there's restaurants. And for you, you were like, this is the restaurant. And I was like, no puede ser, babe.
We grew up very differently, you and I.
We did.
Pero es que, like, mi mamá típica, hay comida en la casa, you know, empacaba burritos. Like, siempre, like, and I love that because I think that that gave me a good foundation as to what I put in my body. Y muchas de las cosas que no ayudan your autoimmune disease is processed foods, the artificial flavors, the artificial sugars, you know, my mom never really gave us soda. I don't like soda. Mm-hmm. So I think that I would be, like, far worse if I had to learn those new habits.
That's very true. Now, you know, dijimos de que it was a challenge de que tu mom te apoye because no entendía exactamente the diagnosis que se lo están explicando via translation de tu parte. Mm-hmm. Pero algo que yo sí noto claramente es that resiliency que tú aprendiste, lo aprendiste de tu mom.
Oh, sí, 100%.
Tu mom es la que no se rinde, tu mom es la que lo vamos a averiguar, you know, and she's very, like, el tipo de que the situation sucks, but there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm going to make the best out of this.
Or and, you just push through.
And you just push through. You know, she doesn't always do it with a smile, mm-hmm. but sometimes you don't have to. Sometimes you just have to continue pushing through.
Sí.
Así que, yeah, I admire that a lot of you and your mom, because that's something that you learned from. And even though she maybe didn't, you know, teach you this or sit down and talk to you about this, you were able to observe that.
Yeah, she set the example.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as a teenager, I remember que a lot of what helped me the most was running. I had to get out.
Mm-hmm. The situation que tú tenías, I mean, de nuevo, somos first generation Mexican-American kids in a small border town. Y a veces nos sentimos de que había mucha oportunidad, muchas posibilidades. You know, we've seen our parents, especially you, babe, más tú que yo, seeing your parents just work and grind. Y a veces the support wasn't always 100% there. No por culpa de ellos, pero de nuevo culpa por parte del mundo en que estamos ahorita, right?
And accessibility, like,
yeah.
I just had that one specialist, the one pediatric specialist in town.
Mm-hmm.
Y ya cuando cumplí 18, there was only that one endocrinologist mm-hmm. in town. So
you could have taken this a lot worse than you did. You really could have. I thought you could have turned for the worse. You could have adopted a mentality de víctima. You could have, you know, and not that I'm downplaying that, right? It's just that I think it says a lot about your personal strength and your faith and just an example of someone who, even though no entendías lo que estaba pasando,
mm-hmm.
you needed to find a way to get through this.
Yeah. And I think that's what's worked for most people across the board, whether it might look different for everyone, but across the board, it's like exercise, watch, you know, what you're putting into your body, your mental health. And I think for me, huge thing was my spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to find a balance in all that. And it's literalmente is take it a day at a time.
It really is, you know.
Because one day, tengo toda la energía and I'm like, oh my God, I got so much done. Like, I was able to do all these things, check off so many things off my list because I'm a gold and I have lists. And then there's days where I can't get through anything. And it was just like, wait, but like, less than 24 hours ago,
mm-hmm. you're fine.
I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like being okay with having grace for yourself.
I remember que when you were really taking ownership of this and acceptance of this, they reconfirmed the diagnosis to you. And I remember.
Yes, because I never got a second opinion.
And I remember you feeling relieved.
Yeah.
You felt good. They get like, ah, okay, si lo tengo.
Pues es que son muchas cosas.
Lo entiendo.
It's a really weird.
Lo entiendo.
¿Cómo se dice? Like a really weird sensation de que,
yeah.
like bad news kind of feels good, like relieved, pero es porque.
Now you know what you have.
Like you can pinpoint it, pues. Mm-hmm. Como que, ah, okay, like there's a why kind of.
Exactly. Y se me hace tan interesante that according to the American Autoimmune Related Disease Association, the people who are like really taking the front with Autoimmune Disease Awareness Month, aquí en el mes de marzo, some of these following stats are just mind-blowing.
Uh-huh.
It takes an average amount of 3 years for a person to receive an autoimmune diagnosis.
Wow.
Imagínate el trauma de qué tengo.
¿Verdad? Oh, sí. Y yo he escuchado mujeres que pasan por eso.
Tantas personas que dicen, algo tengo.
Yeah.
And imagine all the doctors, because now it takes an average of 4 different types of doctors before they get a diagnosis. Uno que diga, no, pues tal vez es esto. O tal vez es el otro. Dude, I don't like, when I had my STD patients come into the clinic and they had to wait 1 week for their test results,
mm-hmm.
they were flipping out. Like they were just detrimental. I cannot imagine 3 years of just, que tengo.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have something.
It really messes with your mind.
It does. And you no lo triste es de que no lo más es eso. Imagínate, 3 años, 4 different doctors. This is not cheap. It takes an average of $50,000 of incurred costs when trying to receive a diagnosis. That is insane. So because you're trying to better yourself, because you're trying to understand qué es lo que tienes, lamentablemente se endeuda a veces las personas, and it just adds to the stress, and it just adds to the problem.
And y muchas de esas mujeres, like, les pasa after having kids, too, because their hormones just shifted. And because of the trauma also of, like, postpartum, and maybe they're going through the baby blues, no, the postpartum depression, too. Like, I've heard a lot of stories online that that's how they got diagnosed. But it took years.
It took years.
Imagínate con un newborn, you know? Or a couple kids and a baby, mm-hmm. and, you know, tu esposo. Y sí, es raro, pero obviamente hombres también padecen de esto. Pero I've heard just prolonged diagnosis, and I'm just like, wow, I went to the doctor, I mean, every year for my whole life, and then just came out in the blood work.
Mm-hmm.
Pero sí, o sea, recientemente I got it checked again. I mean, I knew porque pues siento todo, ¿no? Y pero it's nice to reassure yourself, okay, like I'm this is not going anywhere, and I need to keep going this way or that way.
Yeah. And you've shown your strength because of that. And I admire you for it, babe. And I love you for it.
I love you too.
Y por eso quisimos hablar de esto. With 100 and plus autoimmune diseases, we really want to bring light to that this is a big picture problem. Una razón, lamentablemente, que no se habla suficiente es because it's not being said enough. And if it is, people are not listening. Lamentablemente, maybe because of the marginalized systemic institutions that we have in this current world. Pero we wanted to share our story. Not my story. Your story.
I mean, I've dragged you in.
It's your story that I get to be part of. And I'm happy about that.
Awesome.
Así que if this, you know... We recommend everybody, ¿verdad? Si gustan, you're more than welcome to go check out the website. It's aarda.org. Stands for the American Autoimmune Related Diseases Association. And they're sharing different stories, different events, why they're raising awareness, and more of these facts that I've been, you know, mentioning here in the podcast. And we'll put down links to their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, para que los puedan hacer check out también si gustan. Así que, babe, thank you for telling your story.
Thank you for having me.
I love you.
I love you.
Hey, everyone else, thank you all for listening too.
The 50-50.
That's it for este episodio of the 50-50. Yo, dejaste caer.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, babe.
Yeah?
It was like...
I was so nervous.
It almost felt therapeutic.
Okay.
Como terapia. Mm. It's a good way of just...
Yeah, I've never really talked about it in this kind of way.
So. Speaking your truth, speaking your journey. Dude, I love you more than ever now.
Wow.
Yeah,
Turn off the outro then.
Sí, así que vamos a apagar estos micrófonos y nos vamos a ir a dar besitos.
Vamos a caminar.
Ay, no. Okay, pues sí, vamos a ir. Sí, vamos a ir hoy. No, I really did. I really did enjoy it, babe. I think, you know, it's a very important message. And again, we're going to put the links to the American... Oh, man, I keep butchering this. American Autoimmune Related Diseases Association. Así que... Yeah, see, and we kind of, you know, pass it on to you. This is something that you know of someone that is going through this. And, you know, if you want to share your journey, you're more than welcome to. Claro, sabemos que los van a hacer via DMs and personal messages. You know, that's perfectly fine. Last week, he kind of went on this rant that get like, pues ya no voy a poner nada en social media. Sin
no, cálmate, no dije eso.
¿Cómo lo dijiste entonces?
Dije que I feel like people don't want other people knowing that they listen to us.
Oh,
that's on you. That's on you, listener.
Yeah,
I'm going to post, and if you want to engage, I'm there. We're there.
They have, and thank you so much for kind of reaching out and
Thank you, Linda, for liking all of our pictures.
Linda's an MVP. She really is. Así que, you know, we really are thankful for people who do reach out and tell us, you know, what they enjoyed or not enjoyed. A veces nos dicen también what they didn't like, and that's perfectly fine too.
Mm-hmm.
You're more than welcome to. If you're probably thinking, oh my God, que exagerados son, cool, let us know. But
maybe not on this episode, because I will probably cry.
No, don't make my wife cry, por favor.
But
okay,
the past ones and in the future ones. Yeah, sí. Dale gas.
Yo soy bien exagerado. A mí, denme todo lo que ustedes quieran decir mal de mí. Pero mi wifey, no. Por favor, gracias. And if you enjoyed episodes like this, check out our website, the5050.com, the-50fity.com. Check out our Instagram, the5050the.50fifty. Y de nuevo, this episode is, of course, sponsored by the 5050 Media, which is our little small business where we do voiceover content. We do content creation, you know, whether it's video, whether it's photo, whether it's, you know, producing of a podcast episode, you know, whatever it may be, consultation. We are here to help with all of your media needs. So check us out, you know, feel free to contact us. And once again, thank you to this sponsor, aka the 5050 Media.
You sound like Snoop Dogg.
Like Snoop
Dogg? I want to thank me.
Snoop double D-O-G.
That, I mean, I've seen the meme. I don't know exactly what he said, but I want to thank me.
Hey, man. All I know is that taxes have to realize that this costs money and someone's paying for it.
Yes.
And Jesse's not paying for this. The 5050 Media is paying for this.
The 5050 Media.
Exactly. Así que, once again, everybody, thank you all for listening to
The 5050.